You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. We're beginning with the end on the show today. Retirement. And not in a fuzzy, far-off way, but how it feels and how to pay for it. We're talking about the psychology with Nancy Schlossberg. She's the author of Revitalizing Retirement, Reshaping Your Identity, Relationships, and Purpose, and The Money with Rhonda Schaffler. She's the editor-at-large at The Street and the anchor of The Street TV. Welcome to you both.
Thanks.
I want to start backwards in time with people who are already retired, because it seems to me like retirement is about preparation and then calibration once you're already there. So, Rhonda, from the money end, when you talk to people about retirement, how much of it is calibrating the sweet spot of what you have to spend and at what pace?
Well, that is a big part of it, because, of course, you can only spend to go with what you've saved to get to the retirement point. So generally speaking, there's a rule of thumb that you should have about 70% of what your income was when you were working. So that means your costs, your expenses have to come down because you will have less money. And that, by the way, is assuming you have saved enough money.
Right.
So it's a very delicate balance. And as we know, we've seen study after study, most people aren't getting it right.
Nancy, when you talk about sort of psychological calibration, are people in retirement prepared for how they feel once they get there?
I don't believe so. First of all, I think especially for men and women who are highly invested in their work, who love what they're doing, the thought of retirement creates some anxiety. They aren't ready, they don't want it, and so they're not prepared for it. I was interviewing a man who was a CEO of a Fortune 100 company, and he has a pension of over $1 million.
Whoa.
So you wouldn't say he's poor. And he said to me, retirement is hollow. I said, hollow? And he hit the table. He said, this is solid. Retirement is hollow. He had no idea that he would lose some of his power, some of his prestige, even though he was still a very rich man and had led a major company. He was in a state of shock. It never occurred to him that it would turn out that way. I mean, there are some people who really prepare, but for most people, or a lot of people, they're not prepared for that emptiness, that feeling of, I don't have a purpose anymore.
So I guess to have the psychological space to sort of have that conversation with yourself, you want to not feel like the wolf is at the door all the time, Rhonda, right?
Yes, it was so interesting listening to Nancy's story because she heard a word we don't hear a lot, and that's pensions. This gentleman who's struggling is in many ways in better off because he has a pension. That is something that is rarer to find, which is why you will hear people say you must save. Obviously, the vehicle most people use now is a 401k, but people do not put as much money in there as they should. They also, of course, some of them who don't participate at all, in many ways are losing free money from their own company. But look, this is very difficult. People don't walk around with all sorts of extra cash in their pockets, especially now.
Yeah.
So it's a discipline. It's starting early. It's trying to take advantage of what's offered. And even then, you might still struggle.
Let's talk about the unexpected, because in the shadow of the recession, a lot of people couldn't retire when they wanted to, found themselves anxious, nervous, working longer. Are there practical things that each of you think you can do to sort of, I guess, prepare for what you can't prepare for?
You know, one thing that's interesting, and I'd love to hear Nancy weigh on this as well, there is this very small but growing movement to have kind of a semi-retirement where companies are looking at the idea where maybe you're not working 40 hours, you're working 30. And it's one of these things where everyone wins. The company has an experienced person that can train a younger person. Maybe that's a good way to ease your way out of the workforce and start preparing for your life when you will not be working even 30 hours.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that the more people can work part-time, can negotiate something with their company so that they're still earning money, but they have more free time and they're beginning to think about what life will be like when they don't work.
Is there something specific to the baby boom generation and how so many people, I think about women coming into the workforce or people who don't have pensions anymore, about how they're negotiating retirement that other generations aren't? I mean, I think of my father, who practiced law, was sort of despondent for a year, and now does pro bono free clinic work. And that sort of gave him purpose back.
People can start new careers, probably socially useful, where they're not making money, but where they're doing something important to society, but also it's life-saving for them.
And there's also, of course, a move toward consulting work. That's another thing people do. They're still experts in their field. They become consultants. So they're earning some income. They have a purpose, if you will. And their expertise is being shared by companies who might actually need it.
So let's say you're listening to this right now and you want to kind of figure out what your options are. How do you do that?
Well, you do need, I think, to think about your finances very early. The minute you are working is when you should be thinking about it. Now, we know people don't want to think about planning ahead that way. But one number I'll throw out here that basically if you, for the next 30 years, if you're a young person, can save 15% a year, you should be okay in retirement. That's a lot to ask, 15%. It really is, especially for people starting out. You can start out in smaller amounts, try to build that up. So that's one way to get started is don't avoid it. Think about it early on. Don't give yourself the added stress of having to worry about finances. At thestreet.com, we have lots of different articles. You'll find information out there. Talk to people, but don't put it off because you're afraid and don't know where to start.
And this is a chance to think about regrets, things you have not done, of dreams that you've had, and start to think, well, when I retire, I can do X, Y, or Z.
Nancy Schlossberg and Rhonda Schaffler, thank you both very much.
It was fun.
It was great.